The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
We have one of the most controversial app votes in history. A vote that could have repercussions for, well, weeks and weeks to come.
You, the WWE Universe, get to make the decision. You get to pick John Cena's opponent tonight. He can either go one-on-one with Luke Harper, or he can go in a handicap match against Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, or number three choice, he can go against Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, and Bray Wyatt.
Tonight, my fate lies in the hands of the WWE Universe. Bray Wyatt has told everybody out there that they have a voice, and in a matter of time, we'll see if they, in fact, do listen to him. I've always respected the fact that the WWE Universe can choose whatever they want to do. So if tonight they vote me to fight the entire Wyatt family, well, that's what I'll have to do.
Which member or members of the Wyatt family the WWE Universe voted John Cena to face? Wow. The entire Wyatt family.
Shoulder tackle. Cena building momentum. John Cena on the rally time.
Oh, he's got him up and down.
Listen to this, Price.
You can't see me, Bray Wyatt. Eat this.
How does he do it?
Cena's going to do it. Cena's going to do it. Right under the shoulders.
You got to be kidding me.
Now the muggy to Cena. And now Harper and Rowan destroying Cena as the patriarch Wyatt looks on.
That is what Bray Wyatt has waited all night to do.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world. In his hand, he got the whole. In his hand, he's got the whole world. In his hand.
This now ends our broadcasting day. Oh, wait. Oh, not that. Oh, I'm sorry. First of all, you're probably a little bit shocked, not just by the hymn that we just heard from Bray Wyatt, but by the fact that there's bass in the person's voice who's talking. That would be because I'm not Nikki Haman. I'm Jim Williams, and who am I kidding? I don't have bass in my voice. I wish I did. This is the North American Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net. I'll tell you why Nikki isn't here in a moment, but first I want to bring in my panel of experts. Panel of wrestling fans who they have the whole world in their ears or something. I don't know. Let's go first to Brooklyn, New York. Producer du jour, man who helped set me up with everything I need for tonight's broadcast, podcast, something cast, fly cast. I don't know. Jason Block. Hey, Jason.
How you doing? And it is bizarre that a spiritual, and I looked this up, from 1924, 90 years old, is the second hottest chant and song in the business right now.
Praise be. Praise be. Very bizarre stuff. Very bizarre stuff. Here's somebody who is not bizarre, but he's another B word because he brings us bad news as warranted. He's still trying to trademark it, but we'll work on that later. From Australia, Shane, bad news, Beeman.
Yes, and I'm afraid I've got some bad news for John Cena because you, sir, got royally screwed. I think it's safe to say the Cena era is over.
Until the pay-per-view, at least.
Oh, God.
Let's not kid ourselves. Super Cena will Super Cena that. Oh! And speaking of, oh, we go all the way back across the Pacific and almost to the Atlantic. Here he is, the fourth on our show, as he so often can be. Fourth.
And the one thing I know is that this Monday proved sometimes democracy works.
Well played. That reference brought to you by Red State Blue State here on CLW83.
Sunday night record time.
Yes, good times. Good times indeed. Well, a lot to talk about this week inside and outside of the squared circle. From Paul Heyman getting under the skin of CM Punk and using him in a little promo about something involving Brock Lesnar beating the streak at WrestleMania. You might have heard about that. To, oh my goodness, we've got ourselves a rivalry for the ages. Torito versus Hornswoggle. To some more serious news. Extreme Rising is no more. Luke Hawks got out while the getting was good. And there are some other great independent companies that are trying to make an extra buck off of it, and I'm all down with that. And then we have to talk a little TNA about how they've added an agency but lost one of their original flagship performers. That's all ahead right now, though. We have to talk at the top about how Monday Night Raw pretty much had to be, at least to some degree, rewritten last second. And that's because of the untimely death of Daniel Bryan's father. It happened literally just a few hours before the show went on the air. In fact, WWE.com kept it real. They put up something just a couple of hours in advance of Monday Night Raw on their website. In fact, I'll read it very briefly here. WWE World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan's, in parentheses, Bryan Danielson's father, has unexpectedly passed away. Bryan was made aware of his father's passing after returning from his honeymoon with Brie Bella. Despite the news, Bryan has insisted on performing for WWE Universe tonight, April 21st, and will be on Raw. WWE extends our deepest condolences to Bryan and his family.
And did he perform all right? Good God.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in just a second, but obviously, yeah. We extend our condolences. Jason, go ahead.
I was about to say, you know, what an up and down few weeks for him.
Yeah, I mean, he wins the, the greatest title you can win in this business. He has the pinnacle of his professional wrestling career. Then he gets bellied, if you will. He bellies up, ha ha ha, and marries Brie. They have the honeymoon, and coming back from the honeymoon, oof. Roller coaster. Absolute roller coaster. The fact that it speaks to his level of professionalism that just on a few hours' notice, he still wanted to go out there and perform. We see it so often, Jason, where some players in other sports play on through the pain as a means of therapy, if you will. And this is exactly what that was in the case of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and you want to know something? The WWE, as you said, Shane, got him out in a very, very clever and in a continuity sort of way. They really did.
They absolutely did. Daniel Bryan and Brie come out. They embrace. Stephanie goes ahead and says, well, you know, this is great. You're celebrating, so on and so forth. But guess what? Come Extreme Rules in less than 2 weeks' time, you get to face the devil's favorite demon, Kane. And if you were Brie Bella, you better run away. Cue the fire, cue the pyro, cue the Kane. Complete with mask and the hair. And he proceeds forth to beat the ever-loving hell out of Daniel Bryan. That's the nicest way I can put it. I mean, the tombstones were numerous, on the floor,
Three.
On the chair, on the announce table. You know, to your point, Jason, it sets up what it keeps continuity in place while allowing Daniel Bryan the time he needs to grieve and handle, you know, family matters and what have you. Fourth, do you think they did it right? Do you think creative on what short notice they had did it right? The you know, set it up perfectly so that Daniel Bryan could, you know, take the necessary time off he needed?
I definitely think they did. They were able to allow him, as you said, to take the time that's needed while also building Kane back up from a corporate stooge, if you will, to being a dominant monster. So I definitely think, given the time they had, they did a great job with it.
Shane, do you agree?
Definitely. Provided that Bryan does take the time off that has been requested of him, like WWE officials in the back have said that Bryan can take time off till Extreme Rules to deal with all the situation with his father and everything else. And it also works for their storyline because then it proves that Kane's really become a monster again. And kept Bryan out till Extreme Rules.
And Stephanie created that monster a week or two further back, goading, pushing, needling Kane. So it definitely, Jason, works in the sense of continuity as well.
Yeah, it does. And of course, next week, you know, Stephanie is going to, quote unquote, apologize to Daniel Bryan. And by the way, did you notice how really sincere she was? Kane, stop, you bastard. You know, I mean, please.
It's essentially she poured gasoline on the fire is what she did.
I thought she did. Yes. Yeah.
This was the part of the storyline for me I am not liking, because you can ask any wife in the world, but any wife in the world, if another woman disrespects your husband and disrespects you at the same time, you're going to slap a bitch, to use a pun.
Yeah, I got to go Wayne Brady on him. Am I going to have to smack a bitch? Yes.
Exactly. But Brie Bella, the past 2 months, three months, this storyline's been going on, has not come down and saved Daniel Bryan once from Stephanie, has not slapped Stephanie once. It's just like, okay, we want to go with continuity. Well, how about when Stephanie comes out to apologize this week on Raw, can I finally get what I want to see? Brie Bella coming down to a ring and smacking a bitch. Because, it's frustrating.
I feel you. I feel you there. I'd love to see it happen. Speaking of Brie, by the way, she's off the road this weekend, just Nikki working the house shows. Brie helping, of course, Daniel with said family matters and what have you. So, you know, we wish the best to D-Bry and the family there. Our condolences, indeed. No easy transition, but let's talk about the Intercontinental Title Tournament. Let's get to that right now, because it's been very, very interesting. Shane, you're, I know, going to call gimmick infringement, but Bad News Barrett, moving on, beating Sheamus in what was a knockout, drag-out, slobber knocker of a match. This also speaks to something I kind of want to tangentially bounce off to. We've noticed over the course of, I'd say, the last 3 to 4 years especially, that certain crowds, initially just certain markets of crowds, would just say, screw what creative wants us to cheer for, we're cheering for whoever we want. It happens in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Toronto, among other markets. It's really starting to happen nationwide now, because Barrett is getting a push, and from what I can tell, Shane, Bad News Barrett is, he could easily be a face, because the fans just eat him up.
He could be a face, but it would just, I don't know, I can't see Wade Barrett being a face, because I think they tried that once for like a little bit and knew it didn't work. And especially with a Bad News gimmick, it doesn't work with a face coming out and going, I've got some bad news for you.
Right.
It's like, oh, God.
Well, Jason, you get what I'm kind of saying. More of the crowds, not just the big market crowds I referenced, they're warming up to the quote-unquote supposed bad guys and get, you know, cheering for them more mightily. And Barrett is completely over with the gimmick. A gimmick that's...
I don't think he's over, but what I will say this is that... Remember, they were in... Where were they in Monday? They were...
I believe Baltimore, weren't they?
They were in Baltimore, which is another Northeast sort of crowd.
Right. Okay. Not to the extent of Philly, New York, but yeah.
Yes.
So, I think it's not just the gimmick, which if, I was going to say started off on a little thing called the JBL and Cole show.
Because I also want to say, because Monday night we had the semifinals of the Intercontinental Tournament. As we were to bring up Mr. Bad News.
Right, and he beat Sheamus, like I mentioned, in a knockout, drag-out kind of fight. Then in the other semifinal, you have Cesaro versus Rob Van Dam. We'll touch on Paul Heyman in just a little bit, because that's part of the reason why Nikki's not here, you see. But Cesaro fell by way of interference due to Jack Swagger. Oh, I wonder if Swagger and Cesaro will meet up in the next pay-per-view. I don't... Hold on, I'm looking for the teleprompter. Ah, no, I don't know. I don't know. That's what it was supposed to say. So RVD advances. He'll be facing Bad News Barra in the number one contender final forthcoming.
Which will be this coming Monday in St. Louis.
Yes, meet them in St. Louis. That should be a fun match, Van Dam and Barrett, I think. So, we'll see. We'll see. Are you guys... what have you guys thought about the tournament so far as a whole, Jason?
I've liked it. Because, again, it gives the Intercontinental title some importance. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to see who the next star is, because you know as well as I do that belts coming off of Big E come Extreme Rules. He's done nothing with it. To me, like Big E, like what he's done, but giving him the belt was a hindrance in a sense.
Would you go so far as to say that once the belt comes off of him, they're not going to push him and he's going to stay in the mid card at best?
Yeah, for now.
Okay.
For now. I think they'll give up on him for a little while. He's got to prove himself again.
Mm-hmm. Shane, do you agree with Jason's assessment that the tournament, the number one contender tournament for the IC belt, has been entertaining and has brought good matches, and that also Big E may not get that next level push yet?
Yeah, no. I've liked Big E's work, don't get me wrong, but do I think it's main event worthy? No. I think Big E's just, unfortunately for now, got to get used to mid-card central.
There you go. By the way, when we talk about main event-worthy rivalries, and fourth, I think you're going to back me on this. I would pay no, I wouldn't. But the main event at a pay-per-view, if this were to happen, I would laugh and crap bricks. The rivalry to end all rivalries in WWE right now, Torito versus Hornswoggle.
No.
But it is amusing. It is mildly amusing seeing Torito with Los Matadores and Hornswoggle, who is about as in place with 3MB as the other three guys are. I wonder what instrument he would play. That's maybe air flute, air recorder, perhaps. I don't know. But
Well, apparently from the way he keeps doing the whole stroke thing, he's playing like a little ukulele or something.
Oh, jeez. Oh, thank you for cleaning it up. I had a bad feeling where you were going with that for a second, but there you go. Anyway,
I gotta hand it to the commentators for trying to sell this match as almost a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, it is. Dufosity at its finest is what it is. It's dufosity at its finest.
And you need it for the most part.
Right.
And you need something like a cleanser in a way.
Right. I mean,
you know,
Santino can only do so much, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to
agree.
You have to add something else to it. And talk about dufosity.
I'm gonna mute myself.
Oh, okay. No,
because I've got some bad news on this. My bad news, Beeman's pissed.
At this?
At what?
Oh, yes!
Okay, why are you going number one over this?
Okay. Reason being, all right, Emma is a great wrestler, okay? Anyone that's seen her over here in Australia would know the reason why she's in WWE right now.
Sure.
And it's not bad enough, right? And I understand, like, this Emma herself might call it this move. It's not bad enough that I've got to put up with the Emma Mite sandwich friggin' thing. I didn't think it could get any worse.
And then
I watch this match, and a pink cobra gets brought out of a friggin' boot. I'm like, oh god.
Okay, that was dumb. Okay.
In this part of the segment, I just chucked an Undertaker and I said, rest in peace.
It's a family show. It's a family show. Cobras, get back in your cage. Oh my god.
Oh god.
That and one unfortunate implication of the color of the puppet just made me think, how did that get past the radar?
Oh, well, I nothing to say to that. Nothing at all.
I just looked at it. I didn't care about the color. The fact that she pulled out the cobra, I'm like, hang on. You've got, like, one of the most entertaining submissions right now.
Right.
And you're going to use the bloody cobra. Are you fucking serious?
Tajiri is not amused, I'll put it that way.
I was not amused at all. I just said, this is how bad I actually thought it was. I said, rest in peace, Emma's career.
Oh, man. Well, that's maybe a little harsh, but I understand what you're going through there. I definitely do.
Well, no, seriously, because, like, after doing that, after, honest to God, doing that, how is anyone going to take her seriously as, like, a Divas champion? I'd be like,
You're implying that people take the Divas Championship seriously. That's kind of...
Now that Paige is the NXT Divas Champion, I hope to God they are.
Excuse me.
Will
Paige is no longer the NXT Women's Champion.
Oh, well, oh, you know what I mean. No, but the Divas Championship.
Divas
is what
Champion,
I'm talking about.
Yeah. JBL is, as we heard from, read from various sources, stripped Paige of the NXT Women's Championship because you can't have both belts. Okay, fine. Whatever. So,
but, obviously, JBL has not met Daniel Bryan.
Well, he's a goat, Michael. He's a goat. Anyway, so that goes. This coming go-home show, Monday night in St. Louis, is going to be a Raw of Returns. I was going to set up the Dufosity one here first. Hugh Jackman is back. So they showed a nice little compilation clip of his first time on Monday Night Raw. So pretty much we can all say Zack Ryder was on Raw on tape. poor Zack. It's now or never, pretty much. But they were setting it up with social media, Jason, with the tweets back and forth between Damian Sandow and Dolph Ziggler and Hugh Jackman. Because remember, we live in a social media world. So Jackman's going to be back on Raw. Are you looking forward to this, or is it just, whatever?
I am, because Jackman is a huge wrestling fan, number one, and he gets it.
Right.
As we saw from the last one. And they did show Dolph Shane on the pre-show, basically not thrilled with the fact that Jackman is coming back. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see where it goes. I'm going to give it, you know, Ziggler will probably get his, you know, his comeuppance in some way.
Fourth, what do you think of Hugh Jackman's return?
Well, given how the Dufosity of his last return is actually pretty enjoyable, I'm at least saying I'm going to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And Shane is still angry over Emma. So we'll just... No.
Hey, Hugh Jackman's an Aussie native. I'm happy that he's going to be back on Raw. But I just got to ask a question. When the hell did Dolph Ziggler turn heel? What the fuck?
He didn't turn heel. He's just pissed that he, you know...
Yeah, but that's the way they're going with him, I unfortunately think. Like, with the whole Zack Ryder, Miz, and Dolph Ziggler thing, I think they're going to turn them into, like, a stupid angry men friggin' heel group. I don't know.
We shall see. That's the best way I can put it. We shall see. Another person returning to Raw this coming Monday. Woo! Space Mountain. Well, with the reformation of Evolution, and we saw them, you know, hold court in their little fancy quasi suits. Suits? Somebody say suits? Wait a minute. We need the jet flying, limousine riding, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, stripping the suits down to his boxers in front of Mean Gene on national TV. Yes, I remember that moment on Nitro. I'm still scarred by it. Ric Flair. Woo. So forth. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. Flair is going to interact with Evolution. Do you think he's going to try to reason with them and say, what the heck are you doing? Or do you think he's going to maybe, I shall say, join up with Evolution, kind of be that mentor like he was years ago? Or do you think...
Or how about this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he flips and goes to the Shield.
That would be an interesting scenario. Even if it's to swerve on Sunday, I think that would definitely be a way to go, I would say.
Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, we will see blood. No, that's not nice. But it's true. It's Flair. You just give him a handshake and he bleeds from his forehead. It's a beautiful thing. But, you know...
I just hope he and Dean don't swap Blade stories.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Oh, jeez. That's just... I mentioned this, I think, going back another aspect from Raw. Back when we were doing the WrestleMania Pick'ems, because I had thought that there was dissension among the Rhodes brothers. They held off on it. Now we're seeing the dissension. The Usos beat Cody and Goldust. Cody pushes Goldust away. It seems like the smoke and mirrors are about to get their heel turn once again. Possibly, Jason?
Yeah, and on SmackDown, I believe it was Rybacksel who beat them. Correct? Right. And and then the big move was is that one of Rybacksel pushed Goldust into Cody, who was going up to the top rope, and Cody flew into the barricade. I am guessing that they're going to turn Cody heel right now.
I would think so. I don't see...
And that's a shame, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I do understand it because it's, you know, where, you know, they've... I think they've outlived their run as a tag team.
I think they have. I think they've well outlived it, to be quite frank and honest. But maybe that's just me.
And also, honestly, with the tag team run, it shows that Goldust will, you know, continue to be a good player here.
Mm-hmm.
And really did very well. So,
yeah.
There you go.
I mean, he could stay around for a while. It's, you know. He still has it, as the popular chant will tell you. Something I'm just so out of order here tonight because, well, Nikki's not riding the ship and riding everything. And the reason I'm so out of order, I neglected, of course, to mention, like I said at the very top of the broadcast here, why Nikki isn't here. You see, Nikki, not unlike her dear old Uncle Paul, will be shouting to the rooftop till the end of time that Paul's client, Brock Lesnar, took down the streak and beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I've only heard this from Nikki on phone calls and conversations with her for the last 3 or so weeks running. Well, she got her comeuppance, her larynx went boom, and now she has no voice. Karma, ain't it a bitch? But seriously, we wish...
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Jim Williams will not be here next week as he will be in ICU. Thank you and good night.
Yeah, ICU and raise you that indeed. So there you go. We wish Nikki the very best, and we wish me the very best in my future endeavors. But we bring up Nikki's dear Uncle Paul. Because before Cesaro had his match with Rob Van Dam, he cut a most interesting promo reminding you, yes you, of what happened during WrestleMania, but he did something a little bit different. he decided to break the wall a little bit and put it in context that even Mark, who's very smart, could understand. Take a listen.
Here's a pipe bomb for you. My client, Brock Lesnar, did what a Paul Heyman guy couldn't do last year when he conquered the Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania.
Well, well, well. He went there.
Oh, he did.
And he could get away with it because he can get away with anything because he's Paul effing Heyman. Jason, did you get your shiggles out of that?
I did. And Heyman could do it for two reasons. One, because he can. And two, I bet he was told to, and he went for it.
You think he was told to? Do you really think?
Or.
Okay.
More succinctly, now that I think about it, I don't think he does anything they tell him to.
Well, exactly. he pounds to the beat of his own drummer and drums up a masterpiece every time. Because we've all heard over the course of the last couple of months the CM Punk chants. Yes, they've lessened to some degree in the last couple of weeks, but we still hear them. He acknowledged them openly in a manner of speaking when he cut the promo the way he did, sitting Indian style. Took a little time for him to get the leg up, but that's okay. In the center of the ring, a la Punk, you know, it was glorious, wasn't it?
In a sense, it was. And I think it also kind of showed, realistically, I hate to say it, but at least for now, CM Punk is kind of losing his battle. Any intention was to get a big payday or to get the Mania main event, because while he's not old news, the window is definitely closing on him.
Yeah, the window, as far as I'm concerned, Shane, for the foreseeable future, it is closed shut. Of course, not unlike The Rock, not unlike Dave Bautista, invariably, Punk will come back for a one-off, don't you think?
I would like him to come back for more than a one-off, but I don't know. I honestly believe that that Phil Brooks, Benoit CM Punk, has honestly just taken time off because he's beaten, he's bruised. Like, let's not forget, he's been doing this since he was 15, 16 years old. So his body's just gone through hell and back. So And not to mention the fact that he's spending time with his fiance AJ Lee. But anyway.
Yes, they were at a Blackhawks game the other night, matter of fact, cheering on the Chicago Blackhawks and Patrick Kane. That's got to be Kane. Anyway, it was there. I'm sorry. But I want to see Punk come back. I think we all do. Maybe he'll follow the Rock method or the Batista method, and that's how we'll get into the main event down the road. Would it be his way of doing it? No, but maybe he sees where the big money is in that regard. I don't know. But
I would personally myself love to see this, because we all know that Punk was a guy that was promoting the hell out of Cesaro.
Oh yeah.
And told him to get a push, and now that Cesaro's joined Paul Heyman, and with Paul Heyman constantly taking digs at Punk, well, I'd just love to hear Paul Heyman take a dig with Cesaro in the ring one time of Cult of Personality, and then friggin'...
Oh, it'd be awesome. It would be awesome, no doubt about it.
And the crowd would go bloody ape shit, and then you have a match between Cesaro and Punk. That would just get you pay-per-view buys for sure.
Five-star match if ever there was one. Well, not just pay-per-view buys, but network buys, and we'll tell you about the network in just a moment. One other thing from Raw, we heard it in the open, Super Cena got derailed by the Wyatts. It was interesting, they build up, Jason, this WWE app poll like it was the second coming of, well, that Super fella, Cena. That fella. And, you know, it was a foregone conclusion, it was going to be 3-on-1. I love how they're trying to make it out that Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family have mind bleeped, Jedi mind tricked the fans into doing this. And how after the show, Jason, you astutely told me this because I don't really watch the post show more often than not, the panel put the onus of what happened in the ring at the end of Raw on the fans, blaming the fans for it. Your thoughts?
It's quite interesting because what they're trying to do, and I love how they're doing this, and they're doing this in a very subtle way. Because we all thought, oh my God, Cena winning at WrestleMania would take the Wyatt's heat away. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. The Wyatt's heat has been stronger, and Cena has been second fiddle, in a way.
I would let me make the analogy. Would you liken the situation between the Wyatts, and I'll ask each of you, the Wyatts and Cena, to, and we've seen this happen for a decade plus, how Triple H comes in, brings the new talent aboard, works a program with them to put them over and then some. Is that what this is in its simplest form?
It could be. I mean, it could be the start of how, well, not the start. Well, because I think it started to me, and I'll ask Shane this, when Cena got Punk over in 2011, was that the point where that sort of level of where he is started?
I don't know. When Cena put Punk over, I don't know. For me, that wasn't it wasn't really a put over for Punk, because let's not forget, with that match, there was the people that were complaining that, Cena said that he was injured or something along those lines during that match. But blah, blah, blah. But with Bray and Cena, I think I'm glad that the heat hasn't, like, the momentum hasn't gone away from Bray, and it's actually built from it. But I just have a really bad feeling that if Cena wins at Extreme Rules, it might kill some of it off, because everyone's just going to be like, okay, well, these guys obviously don't see Bray Wyatt as a main event star.
Fourth, where do you weigh in on this?
I definitely think that it would be kind of a star-making moment for Wyatt to win the cage match.
Mm-hmm.
That even if they have Cena win a return match, just present Wyatt as being that much of a threat to him. So I think that it definitely would help him immensely.
It's good. Go ahead, Jason.
Because because honestly, in my brain, remember when we discussed this a few months ago, when it was reported in the Observer way before WrestleMania 30 happened, that they were going to, you know, use Cena Wyatt at WrestleMania, and everyone was going, "What the fuck is this?" Okay, mm-hmm. But it's worked, because Cena has actually also been selling his vulnerability to it.
Absolutely.
Well,
I mean, the closing shots from Raw, you don't see Cena just lying motionless all that often, and being serenaded to, no less. as you said at the top, Jason, how a 90-year-old church hymn is now one of the top two or three, you know, bits the WWE talent can chime out is mind-numbingly awesome.
It's one of those. Only in wrestling.
Exactly.
You know, because he got the whole world in his hands is a beautiful spiritual. It is.
It absolutely is. And given the character that we're dealing with here with the Wyatts, taking something so beautiful and mangling it to virtual, you know, insanity is a beautiful thing.
And it's corrupting, and I'm gonna use a word that Nikki uses a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's been organic.
Yes, it has.
And it's been beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because everything that Bray Wyatt says, no matter how screwed up or effed up it is, it works because Bray Wyatt believes in who he is. He believes in what the hell is going on. He believes he is that cult leader who is going to bring down the goodness of John Cena and to show the world what a liar he is. And that's it. The steel cage promo was brilliant tonight. Everything he said, it's great. It's awesome.
Now, I'll tell you what's not exactly great, though. As great as the stuff is with the Wyatts and Cena, and I think it's been some of the best stuff leading into the pay-per-view, some people aren't buying it, hate to say. The numbers are interesting. Hour one of this past Monday's Raw, roughly 4.2 million. It peaked in the second hour, close to 4.4 million, and lost a good almost 700,000, down just under 3.8 million in the final hour in overrun. Now, Jason, of course, you're going to tell me, being a fellow media buff like I am, the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs were going on, and it's exciting stuff. Is there any set reason to hit the alarm button that we have an hour of the program for the first time in a couple of months going under 4 million viewers?
No, and I'll tell you why this is. This is, I think, a Daniel Bryan issue.
Really? More than,
yeah, I do.
Him not being in the prime hour, people aren't going to watch.
Yeah. I mean, again, and I guess people understand, well, okay, those who are not marks who are smart, they're like, all right, fine. And yes, they do have competition. And believe me, they're going to have competition this fall because of all the Monday Night Football games that are going on. They really got to come through with them.
Right.
We talked about that on the BS Big Show.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
And Fourth is breathing fire as we talk. I think that's very exciting. Fourth is now a dragon. He is Dragon from that independent promotion now. That's a beautiful thing. By the way, at this point in time, I'm checking Wikipedia, and of course, it's never wrong. You've got the makings of an interesting card for Extreme Rules, as you often do. So far, 7 matches are on the table. We talked briefly about, we really didn't touch on it too much. The Usos, still your tag team champions. Ryback's the number one contender. They're going to be facing them on the pre-show. Big E's going to have a match against insert opponent to be named here, of course, whoever wins the Intercontinental Championship number one contenders tournament. You got the Wyatt-Cena steel cage match. Paige is going to defend her championship against the apparent number one contender, Tamina Snuka. Interesting. D-Bry and Kane for the World Heavyweight Championship, of course. Alexander Rusev is going to prove once again that he is better than everybody, or a beast, as he is going to take on both Xavier Woods and R-Truth in a 2-on-1 handicap match. I'd like to wish Xavier and R-Truth the very best in their future. No, I'm not going that far, but come on. Welcome to the showcase, Mr. Rusev. Congratulations, you're getting a payday. And, of course, The Shield versus Evolution, also on the card at this point in time. And I mention this, of course, in the interim, because 1 week from now, when Nikki hopefully returns and tries to rip my larynx out in advance of the show, we're going to do our pick'ems, as we often do, and we'll see who will become the Fizzleweight Champion of the World. So, that's the sides of things pretty much in WWE, at least on the air. I want to talk about something away from the air. Well, sort of, kind of. The internet air when we talk about WWE. Because they made some history over the course of WrestleMania. When you're in the company of Hulu, Amazon Prime, Netflix, YouTube, you're doing something right. And that's exactly the case for WWE, as their streaming client, the WWE Network. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. They're now second among all live streaming internet content in the world, accounting for 17.7% of such content. They were second only to VRM's favorite site, Twitch.tv, where he watches 15,000 people play a stupid game that everybody just doesn't know what to do with. America, enough said. To put some perspective in place, WWE outstreamed ESPN, outstreamed Ustream, outstream the people who help make WWE Network Major League Baseball. And
damn!
Yeah. Okay. So NLB Advanced Media is having their cake and eating it too, let's say, over this. And to go further, on WrestleMania Sunday, 3 weeks ago, they topped Amazon Prime and Hulu Plus for online streaming volume. They were third, only behind Netflix and YouTube. So all of you, and we all felt this way to a certain extent cynically, oh, everything's going to crash, the network can't handle it, Mark is very smart, he's going to be upset. Shut up, we were wrong. The network could handle everything. It's stable, and it's only getting better. Now, fourth, if you're a stockholder and you hear this news, are you rethinking, because we've seen the price for the stock over the last couple of weeks go down below 30 and closer to $20-$25 a share. Are you saying, you know what, I'm going to stay and hold pad here, or, you know, do you not take everything here that I just said with a grain of salt?
Honestly, given that it just passed the biggest test it's gone through so far, I can say it's definitely a time to be happy to have any shares in the company, mm-hmm. and just how successful the network went through. And again, as you said, everyone thought that it could crash or would crash.
But it didn't. Everything held up just fine, Jason. I mean, there were a couple little hiccups, but nothing that a quick refresh couldn't fix, at least on my end.
And, of course, they're doing it right. As you notice, again, they're ending the free trial right before a pay-per-view week. Okay.
And they may offer another one like 2 weeks after the pay-per-view, so if you really wanted to see it, boom, you can see it and get a sampling of everything.
That yet, and you know what? They'll continue to do that.
Which is smart. Yeah. Very smart.
Yeah, very smart. And the fact that they're getting, you know, this network, as I said, and it's only been out, what?
2 months.
2 months? You could call it an unqualified success.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't hit, they've got 250,000 people subscribing in the United States. It'll get to 1 million by year's end. I truly believe it will.
And with more and more pay-per-view satellite companies, as we talked about last week, mm-hmm. dropping WWE.
And subsequent pay-per-views, the network model is going to be what makes them or breaks them in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, though? It's awesome. It's really good.
Indeed. So, congratulations to the folks at WWE Network and MLB Advanced Media on the high praise and the high success rate. Good stuff on that front. Now, you know, it's been a while since I've done this, filling in, and probably will be the last time if somebody we know has their way. We still have this, don't we? Okay, let me see. Inbox is up. There we go. Jim, your larynx isn't the only thing that's going to be ripped out of you if you don't watch yourself. Okay, fine, fair enough. You're forgetting to talk about the changes in TNA. You're forgetting to talk about Extreme Rising, falling, and crashing and burning. Valid point. And you're forgetting DDP's 2-minute tirade on a certain tot mom loving biatch.
Hello! Yes!
Oh, I've got to familiarize myself with at least the last part of that, and I will do so during this commercial break. When we come back, all of those things and much more, alongside Jason Block, Shane Badness Beeman, and fourth, I'm just Jim, in for Nikki. The NAWC rolls on after these commercial messages. Stay with us.
Hey! How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The odds of becoming the next president of the United States are about 1 in 10 million. The odds of a high school baseball player being drafted by a Major League Baseball team are about 1 in 200. The odds of having a child born with autism in your family are 1 in 68. Hi, I'm Jim Williams. April's Autism Awareness Month, we at CLW83 are doing our part to help, and we ask that you do your part to help too. Simply go to CLW83.com and click on the Autism Speaks banner on the homepage to learn more about what autism is and, if you're compelled, to make a donation to this worthwhile organization. Once again, go to CLW83.com, click on the Autism Speaks banner on our homepage, and if you have a few bucks, please make a donation. Who knows? That donation, no matter how big or small, may lead to another breakthrough. Perhaps the very breakthrough that finds a cure for autism.
Hey, future body changers, it's me, John Cena. Think of your favorite food right now. What is it? Pastry, ice cream, cookies, beer, pizza, whatever it is. What would you say if I told you you could lose weight and eat your favorite foods? Well, you can. With the 10 weeks body change program for one day a week, you can eat as much of your favorite foods as you want. You heard it from me. And the rest of the 6 days of the week, you have a huge selection of foods to choose from that'll help you lose weight. Here's the kick. You can eat as much of those foods as you want to. No craving, no starving, just losing. It is officially change time.
You love your pets, so you keep them healthy by buying expensive supplements. Unfortunately, your pets don't like to take the supplements. You've tried hiding pills in food and forced it down, only for them to spit it back out. There has to be a better way. Pause 5. Two quick, delicious peppermint sprays in your pet's mouth for a full day. Protecting them 5 ways. Coat and skin, teeth and nails, joints, eyes, and immune system. No more forcing pills down your pet's mouth. You would spend over $200 buying these supplements individually. Or Pause 5 for under $35 includes all 5 supplements in one. Order online and receive free shipping anywhere in the U.S. www.pause5.com.
And weren't those important messages, well, important? If you don't think so, you're wrong. Welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection here on CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net. Jim Williams alongside Jason Block, Shane, Bad News Beeman, and forth. And let's talk about a promotion. Well, it used to be a promotion, let's say. The demise continues and has been met, you might say, for Extreme Rising. And we chronicled this over the last couple of weeks, the whole situation involving a friend of Wrestle Chats and ours, Luke Hawks, and everything going on and how he pretty much has gotten stiff time after time after time after time by this promotion. And then this comes out Tuesday from the desk of PW Insider. Extreme Rising owner Steve O'Neill contacted PWInsider.com this afternoon with the following statement, all in caps, by the way, and I quote, "All Extreme Rising live events for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, Friday, April 25th, Saturday, April 26th, Saturday, May 3rd, are all canceled. For full refunds, please contact your credit card company or bank directly or store purchased at," end quote.
quote. May I just say, anytime you have to talk to your credit card company or your bank directly for a full refund, that's not good. Not good for business. Just saying that offhand. That being said, we go back, Jason, and we look at everything Luke said. And we've seen the history of this promotion and how, from Jump Street, something was never right with it. Now we're seeing it meet its demise. What's your takeaway?
What my takeaway is this. If you remember, this was supposed to be the Extreme Reunion show.
Right. You're supposed to get, you know, the last vestiges of Extreme Championship Wrestling on board. And at times you got some personalities. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you got Shane Douglas at one point in time.
Shane Douglas was the commissioner. He ran it for a while. You had people like Stevie Richards. You had Sabu. You had others.
Right.
Okay.
But they even saw the writing was on the wall and got out before the Titanic really went.
Well, but here's the thing, and I'm going to say this with all the love in the world. Anything with the word extreme, just die. You understand what I mean?
It's the equivalent of a baseball player who is 45 or 50 years old trying to hold on to the last vestiges of what they once were. If you will, it's Terry Funk or the Wrestler kind of situation here. Let the days of yore be the days of yore, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I have no problem with seeing these guys do their thing. Mm-hmm. But you can't have lightning strike in the bottle twice.
Especially when you use a lot of the same talent that is now 20, 25 years older, moving slower, can't go with the punches like they used to.
I mean, look, and again, you're right, but look at the people who have actually been successful. Tommy Dreamer, House of Hardcore. He may not run many shows, but he knows what to do and how to do it. Remember when they tried to do Hardcore Justice and Hardcore Reunion when there was sort of another ECW reunion show?
Right.
That's the thing. When they did, and this is what I'm hating about it, like, I have all due respect to all the ECW originals and everything, but you guys really need to let the past go, because they've tried it so many times. I mean, the 2 one-night stands, Hardcore Justice, the one-night-only extreme show at TNA, it was just... It was good to watch. It was good for nostalgia, but when you watch the matches, it was just like, yeah, it's much more slower and just hard to watch.
You know what I'll liken it to? I'll liken it to that experiment about 15 years ago, which Matthew rightfully ripped a new one when they were talking about the Legends of Wrestling pay-per-view back in 1999, I think it was. Trying to go back to Camelot, to the old days of wrestling, because people are sick and tired of what they're seeing today. But when you bring all these, I say this affectionately, old-timers back, and they don't have what they used to have in the tank, or they've got serious health issues, they've got serious medical issues, and you're expecting them to do what they did in their youth, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, like look at Balls Mahoney, okay?
And
like Balls, like, seriously, all due respect to you, buddy, but you only just suffered a serious concussion last year. Like, you got cracked in the head at a house show that you were doing, and now you're going to keep doing like extreme shows in 2014. Mate, you need to really seriously think about your health and that here, mate. Otherwise, yeah.
I mean, it verges on... It's sad. What it is it's sad. And listen, I was one of the biggest ECW fans around. One of the things I just couldn't stand was the fact that My dad, God rest his soul, would never let me go to the ECW arena. Granted, I wasn't 18 until after the promotion bellied up, so I would have spited him there. But, you know, and I watched it religiously at 2 in the morning or whatever time it was on here in Philly. They, you know, the home market didn't really have the greatest clearance, believe it or not. But I appreciated it for what it was at the time. You can't recreate Camelot. You cannot go back to the days of yore on a regular basis. And like you mentioned, Shane, and like you mentioned, Jason, they've tried to do it so many times. I got my closure with the first One Night Stand, to be perfectly blunt and honest. One Night Stand 2005 was great. It was closure. Done with it. Yep. I mean, even WWE tried to cash it in initially by bringing back ECW as its own brand, which was pretty much one of the worst things that could have ever happened in many respects.
And you want to know how bad it was? I was there for the opening night in Trenton with the Zombie.
Uh-oh.
You know, with Kelly trying to strip. Mm. Okay? So I understand, but I gotta say, though, a lot of the independent promotions that are running this weekend are trying to you know, give discounts for people who have tickets, and our friend who has worked for Extreme Rising, Joel Gertner, is actually working for the Lucha show that's going to be in the same place on Sunday, which is called Mass Mania as well. So they're trying to get the rest, but you want to know, look, especially in the soft economy, it's really hard to get business to begin with. But there are promotions who do it right. Unfortunately, Steve O'Neill got under too quickly and just couldn't do it. They just, you know, just couldn't do it. It's sad.
I mean, I remember reading in some of the articles they had tried to line up a television station. They were going to be on actually a station that's run out of Millville, New Jersey, not too far away from me. Sadly, also a station that runs nothing but infomercials. When you're trying to put a wrestling show together and you want to be taken seriously, you cannot do it on a pay-to-play infomercial channel on cable. I'm sorry. That's just like strike 1, 2, and 3 against you right there. But, you know, I don't feel for the fans because the fans knew this was coming. Smart enough fans knew. I feel for the talent like Luke Hawks and many others who perpetually have gotten gypped of money, of, you know, other opportunities by Extreme Rising. It's a damn shame.
Okay, can I? All right, here's where I start going into bad news Beeman mode, because here's the real bad news for people. Okay, bad news is any new star that came in, you were frigging kidding yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you were kidding yourselves from the start. This whole thing was created just so a bunch of people who are way past their prime, all due respect, but I'm being brutally honest here, who are way past their prime, want to relive their glory days day after day after day. And it's sad to say. Like I said, Balls Mahoney got a concussion just last year. He's still doing this shit. He needs to friggin' just retire and say, okay, enough's enough. Sabu is covered head to toe in bloody body scars from doing this shit for over 20 years. Like, you would think enough's enough, but no, the man still does it. And it's just like, you guys got to stop living your glory days and realize just mold the new stars and leave. That's it.
Pass the torch.
Pass exactly. Because I'm sick of seeing guys, and even you guys brought up Ric Flair. Don't friggin' touch Ric Flair anywhere near S.H.I.E.L.D. If I see Ric Flair anywhere near S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm going to lose it. Because, Rick, all due respect, you're another one that needs to go out to pasture and just retire. Go into the Legends House. If you can go into the Legends House, I don't care. That's fine. But stay away from the wrestling ring. For God's sakes.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at an article from the Burlington County Times here in the state of New Jersey from just a couple of days ago. Steve O'Neill, as most recently as Easter night, was still planning on running the shows. As late as Sunday night, O'Neill was planning on running the shows. The author of this article called, or actually O'Neill called the author of the article to for a half hour to explain everything, talking about the TV show, trying to get on internet pay-per-view for both days. From what I'm gathering for it, Steve O'Neill's a guy who, you know, is looking, he had maybe the best of intentions, but maybe was too lazy and didn't realize, more importantly, how much work went into running a promotion.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a sad deal, and yeah, it just takes a lot to run things, and he just thought it was going to be easy, just get a few ECW guys, and that's it. Yeah. And then, sadly, the ambitions, the dreams required a lot more than he was willing to put into it.
You know, we could kick this horse even deader than it is right now, but the fact of the matter is, for all intents and purposes, Extreme Rising is dead. If you had tickets to any of the promotions, if you show them at certain independent functions, like Jason said, that are going on this weekend, by the time you're listening, they will have come and gone. You can get discounts to some quality shows, quality promotions that are still in business and probably will be for a while on the independent scene. It's just a sad state of affairs. And from one sad state of affairs, we go to another. Let's talk about TNA. They've made an addition, but they've also made a subtraction. I'll defer to you guys. Do you want the addition first or the subtraction first?
Let's stay positive. Let's go with the audition.
Okay, we'll be positively Canyon. That's fine. TNA, of course, is looking for talent. Lord knows they're looking for talent. Well, it turns out that earlier this week, Impact Wrestling is going to be signing up with UTA, which stands for the United Talent Agency. Okay. What does this mean? They're going to extend the television broadcast reach to expand licensing programming, live event programming, cross-platform programming, blah, 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 blah. Pretty much this is looked at, as far as I can tell, as a last-ditch lifeline for a company, Jason, that come October probably won't be on once-a-week cable television.
Well, you want to know something? I like the fact that they did this.
But it's too late.
Yeah. Again, TNA does everything right, but they do it 2 years too late. I mean, look. Signing with a talent agency is a great idea because they're realizing that they need help to promote the show, okay? Mm-hmm. But again, you know, they're not going to be on Spike. They are not going to be on Spike. I don't know where they're going to be, but they're not going to be on Spike. At least I don't think so.
I don't think so either, and of course it all comes back to what we've talked about for months on this show. WWE could slip through the back door and go back to Spike easily. The very next week, the very week after, or the week of TNA going off of Spike, if that happens in October. So TNA's now working with the United Talent Agency. But like I often say, if you cut down a tree in the middle of the Amazon rainforest and nobody hears it, did you really cut down a tree? Food for thought. Let's look at the other big story for TNA this week. And that would be, one of the originals has said, bye, Felicia. And we're talking about Christopher Daniels. He was there from day one, guys. He was there from day one. TNA's motive right now is to sign as much talent as they can as cheaply as possible. Give you a little backstory. James Storm, also an original. He seems content. He's most recently signed in the company. Robbie E., Gunner, they got multi-year deals. They recently... Rockstar Spud.
Yeah.
Multi-year deal. Christopher Daniels, we can do without him. Question mark. Shane, Daniels leaving the company. Are you surprised by this? Does it?
Hell no.
Okay.
Let's be honest here. Okay, anyone that's been keeping up to date with Jeff Jarrett's global fight wrestling. He recently had a picture with Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, and apparently, according to Pete sources backstage, Dixie Carter was not impressed. She even held a talent meeting in which she told her TNA talent that they are to stay away from Jeff Jarrett, and not mention Jeff Jarrett's promotion at all.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Obviously we know that Christopher Daniels and Frankie's contracts are coming to an end. So with that picture and with that being done, I knew for sure the Fallen Angel was out of there, because Christopher Daniels is a great wrestler, and he's not going to take a pay cut for nobody.
Well, there you go. Enough said. And you know, he doesn't deserve. He's earned that right to play that kind of game, I think. Go ahead, Jason.
I was about to say, Shane, you nailed it on the head. People, I think Dixie is very, very afraid of Jeff Jarrett's promotion. Mm-hmm. Why do you think she's locking people up? Okay. And Panda Energy. Am I wrong about this, Shane?
Oh, hell no. She is extremely paranoid, and I do not blame the woman at all. She knows deep in her heart, no matter how much she tries to BS people on television and say that she was the reason that TNA was there today. No, your daddy's money was the reason that people were there today. Mm-hmm. Jeff Jarrett was the reason that people stayed. And look at what happens. As soon as you got rid of Jeff, the Titanic started going down. Mm-hmm. And that's just fact. And now that Jeff started up this new company and he's got former TNA employees coming to work with him, Dixie's getting really scared. That's why she's held this talent meeting and said, don't talk to him, don't go near him, and don't bring up GFW at all.
Meanwhile, Vince Russo's like, hey, I'm back in the fold. Anyway.
He is, believe it or not.
Yeah, that if that doesn't say ship going down, I don't know what does. Yeah, I'm sorry. Russo, never been a Russo guy, never will be. So,
I am a bit surprised, though, with James Storm, unfortunately, because James Storm was another one that's been there since day one, and I'm just really shocked that he actually took, like, a pay cut when he knows damn well that he's a veteran and he's been there since day one, helped build the company. He should have just done what Christopher Daniels did and just said, nope, screw this, I'm out of here.
Well, it's, you know, any money is good money, maybe for some. That's the only way I can.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, Jim, is that we've all seen the pictures. We've seen the pictures that the TNA arenas aren't even getting half the people anymore.
It's impossible for them to hide how little the attendance is.
And the house shows are even worse. They can't even fill a high school gymnasium, for God's sakes.
Yeah, so, it's pitiful. It's absolutely pitiful.
So it's like, I've been at independent shows. Okay, I know how that system works.
Right.
You get the money from the ticket sales.
Right, from the gate. Yeah. It's
not always. If you do it right, you don't have to do it that way.
Oh, you don't have to do it that way, but. But with that much of a small crowd, Jason, that's how it was done.
Believe me, unfortunately, I've worked the indies. I've lived that, okay? I've absolutely lived that, okay?
It's shit, and it sucks to see something that was once so great just go extremely downhill. And it's gotten even worse. I mean, now they've got, like, God, I don't even want to say this, but they've got, like, really over-the-top Perry Saturn-like storylines going on with a stalker in Sammy Shaw. It's just like, Jesus Christ, stop the pain.
Again, and Vince Russo. But
this week they particularly made it jump the shark when they made Shaw out to be some sort of psychotic mama's boy.
They are.
I know.
Yeah.
It was just... Oh, crap.
No, go ahead, Shane.
I was just going to say, it was just crap. It was, like, I looked at it and I thought, so you're going to have Ken Anderson, who's a great talent on the mic and in the ring, and you're going to have him walking around Sammy Shaw's house or childhood home and then see all this creepy shit. It's like, really? Come on.
It's blatant misuse of talent. Blatant misuse of talent.
And by the way, do not be surprised if we see more people jumping ship from TNA going to this Global Force Wrestling, I believe it's called.
Yeah, Global Force Wrestling, yeah. Jason, I'm going to raise you that bet and say, expect to see within the next 2 to 3 weeks, Frankie Kazarian, free agent.
Apparently he's already left. Kazarian apparently either has or is about to leave as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a sad state of affairs with Impact Wrestling. It really is. And again, they've got a hugely, you know, at their peak, they had one of the best. They arguably had the best roster in wrestling. It's just they were misappropriated and misused, and there you go.
And honestly, I think the key to everything was the fact when AJ Styles left. When AJ Styles left, goodbye, over. Because if you don't re-sign that guy, and I mean that guy, you know, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. When you've got the heart and soul of TNA saying, F this, I'm gone. And then, like, another great wrestler in Sting saying, nope, I'm not doing this anymore.
It speaks volumes.
Exactly.
It says it all right there. It says it all right there. Going now to a more stable promotion for just a moment, a quick reminder. We talked about Paige being stripped of the NXT title. You're going to see NXT, of course, every week on the WWE Network. But coming up at the end of next month on May 29th, NXT TakeOver. They will be live on the network. Hopeful, and I'd like to think the 2-hour or whatever broadcast will not be riddled with the problems that the first one was. So that's worth taking a look at. Should be an interesting card. Always exciting to see what's going on there.
We have the top three matches.
All right, what do you got?
Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn.
Okay.
Awesome, okay. NXT champ Adrian Neville versus Tyson Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, okay. And Natalya versus Charlotte to crown a new NXT Women's Champion.
Hmm. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Hawk versus Tyson Kidd. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad at all to say for a bad match at all. But I just wonder what sort of message it's sending if Natalya wins the NXT Women's Championship.
She won't. Come on, man. She won't.
If they pulled that, I would say, if I was Natalya, bye. I might say bye, given where her status is within the Divas as it is right now. But, you know.
Because, like I said, I would have loved seeing Natalya versus Paige. Like, I would have loved seeing that.
Right.
But instead, I'm getting Tamina versus Paige, and it's like, okay.
It could always be worse. It could be Eva Marie. Just saying.
Oh yeah, that's true. Then we'd have Botchamania.
Lacey Von Erich called. She wants her gimmick back. Oh, that come out. I'm sorry.
Oh damn.
Yeah. Wrestlelicious.
But if Charlotte wins, I'm just expecting her to come out the next week on NXT in the huge feathery robe, going woo, NXT Women's Champion.
There you go. Another thing. Speaking of WWE here, and Nikki told me that she meant to talk about this last week, but didn't get a chance to. WWE has teamed up with the No Hate campaign. That's N-O-H-8. Of course, Darren Young coming out last year via TMZ. He was gay. Wonderful. Good for him. And now WWE stepping up their support of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. They're teaming up with the No Hate campaign. Lots of pictures of everybody with the No Hate symbols all over themselves. Mouths taped shut. This is just a good thing. This is a good thing the whole way around. Forth, your thoughts on this in conjunction with like Be a Star and everything else the E is doing.
The first thing is the serious thing is that it's definitely, I think, a very good sign. Definitely a very good thing to do to show support for a lot of great causes, because it definitely shows that it's not the same company of the Attitude Era. It shows that they are trying to evolve and they're trying to change and improve. Mm-hmm. As somewhat of a joke answer, I just want to know how Daniel Bryan felt when they had to take the duct tape off.
Well, he was probably yelling, no, no, no. That's all there is to that. I just hope that this doesn't, and maybe this is me being cynical here for a second. We always lash out on the Be a Star stuff. You know, the Be a Star moment of the week we had, that is an occasional segment in the past on this podcast where they go against the grain with the, you know, the initiatives they're trying to support. I don't see them doing that here. They're not going to play up, ooh, Darren Young's gay, let's bash him for the sake of promoting the No Hate. It's nothing like that's going to happen. This there's nothing but good news out of this, and, you know, I'm all for it, so good for WWE. Good for the company.
They did do a bit of a Be the Star thing, Jim, with the Shield's promo against Evolution.
That's right. That's true.
When Dean Ambrose called them, what was it he called them again? actually being quite serious, I can't remember what he called
them. I don't remember either, offhand.
Cream Puffs.
Cream Puffs!
Yes.
Yes, didn't call them bastards, didn't call them little bitches, Cream Puffs!
There you go.
Well, because you want to know something? It is politically correct. However, may I call a little hypocrisy on the WWE for a moment?
I knew you probably would. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, they also want to, you know, talk about bullying and all this stuff.
Of course.
You know, the Be a Star and all that stuff. You know where they were last week?
Where were they?
Okay. They were in Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. Okay, which is actually a country that didn't even allow women to see this show.
Hmm.
Just saying. That's all.
Well, they can't control the way other people jurisdict things.
No, they can't, but I'm just saying.
I got you.
You know, if you're going to go all the way, you know.
Well, so you're saying if they were going to go full bore, don't do any more shows in Saudi Arabia, at least.
Or at least not in that market where if you want to have women and people treated equally, you know.
Yeah, countries or areas where second-class citizens exist, at least in the mentality. Well, all right. That's a topic for red state, blue state right there.
Yes, it is.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, right.
But speaking of political and insightful views, we can't go without mentioning Diamond Dallas Page and his unique and uncensored thoughts about a certain tot mom loving, what's the word I'm looking for? Twat! Twats is the word I'm looking for from HLN. This is a 2 minute or so clip, or actually, no, this is actually, we boiled it down to 30 seconds, about 30 seconds, from the Opie and Anthony post show with Sam Roberts. This is Diamond Dallas Page, more or less playing word association when it comes. I know we threw her in room 101. I have to say the name, though. DDP on Nancy Grace.
Ugh.
It is glorious. It is 33 seconds. Here it is.
You talk about exposure, mm-hmm. Getting on every TV show you can possibly get on. You were on Nancy Grace.
That was like pissed me off so bad that I won't even talk about that cut.
Because you see the names. And I love because that sentence starts sounding politically correct and ends in a very different direction.
Yeah, you know, because I just it was just wrong. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about that fucking cunt anymore because I'm just not.
We can hashtag that because she loves her hashtags.
Wow.
Well.
All I know is from now on, in reference to her, we should probably use the word cunt to describe her.
Well, what sponsors do we have left?
Yeah, the views expressed by Forth are not necessarily those of Forth, CLW83, its lack of sponsors, and the lack of listeners now. Thanks. But the man's right, though. No question the man's right. God bless satellite radio and all its intricacies where you can say whatever the hell you want. Kind of like what we do here on More Shows Than Not. But it was an absolute con job what was done. And a couple of, I think there was an independent wrestler that was booked for a show earlier this week. A follow-up.
Can I ask a serious question, though?
Please do.
How does this bitch still have a job?
Simple. She gets ratings for a low-budget cable news network.
She gets ratings. Yeah, she gets rating all right for being the stupidest, dumbest fucking news broadcaster in the world. And I'm including Michael Cole in this.
Oh, that's vintage of you. That's very vintage. Now,
I watched that whole thing, and that was just 5 minutes of pissing me right the hell off.
I can't speak to Australian television and the personalities you have down there, but in American television, the MO seems to be, as long as you're loud and proud, we'll put you on the air. You don't have to be right. You don't have to be sane. You don't have to be intelligent. If you're loud, proud, bombastic, and full of yourself, and have that ego going about you, you too can be a big cable TV star.
Yeah, like, can I get, where's Nancy Hart when I need her? I mean, fucking hell, woman, she just friggin', like, buried your husband live on air and said that your husband died of steroid use. She added him to the list of superstars and she was talking about steroids.
It's sickening.
I'm surprised she didn't call up that network and threaten to sue them.
And for all we know, some stuff could be coming. The statute of limitations is far from up, so this story isn't going to die yet, but WWE, as we mentioned in the past, recent past, telling their people, stay away from Nancy Grace. I would just stay away from her, period, because quite frankly, look at the woman. Is she a woman? Is she an amoeba or like a Jabba the Hutt, Pizza the Hutt kind of thing? I'm not sure, but it makes me uncomfortable even mentioning her, so let's move on. And move on.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Here we go.
That woman has an Adam's apple. Thank you and good night.
Oh, man alive. Oh, that's beautiful. That's no easy segue out of that, but let's just get into some plugs here if we could. Let me start with Forth. Forth, anything to plug, shill, promote, such?
Well, just Typo Show on Tuesdays, still on the other place for now. And I don't know when BRM's going to start his show back up, but hopefully sometime soon. Mm-hmm. That's basically it for me.
Fair enough. Shane, anything you'd like to plug, promote, shout out, and such?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to get a good friend of mine over here in Australia noticed. I'm trying to get another Australian woman over in the States. Ooh. To get noticed by the big companies. So if you guys could do me a real big favor, seeing as though GFW is obviously looking for people, please go on Twitter as much as you possibly can and put at GFW hashtag Heartbreak Heel hashtag Nikki Nitro 22 and get her out there because she's a great wrestler, guys, and definitely a very beautiful woman. We'd love to show. I'll show you guys after the show.
Oh yes, that'll be. I'll be waiting with bells on. Good stuff. Jason, we've alluded to it a couple of times. Red State, Blue State, we're recording that later this week. There's nothing going on in politics. It should be a 5-minute breeze.
Let's see. There was so much stuff I threw in. There's a couple of books out. We could talk just, there's so much, you know, little mini subjects that we talked about. One that actually came out very interesting. Did you also know that 1 in 13 kids here in the United States are on some sort of behavioral meds? Did you know that?
I thought it was actually going to be a smaller number than that, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. We had a total BS photo op with a woman at the Take Your Daughter to Work Day.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
You know, and all that sort of stuff.
When Michelle Obama is in grandstanding and showing up on Nashville on ABC, you know, it just...
Yeah, and all that good stuff. We talked some football on Thursday.
BS Big Show, Carl, me, you, among others. The schedule. We looked at schedules for primetime football and some of our favorite teams. Some interesting news and notes, including Deshaun Jackson, wrongfully accused in my eyes, but going to Washington, and he'll make something big of himself there. You know he will.
We know this.
Oh, yeah.
We also know that baseball is in full effect, and we're going to have the second
Touch 'em all podcast, yep, for the season.
Yes, and I am going to throw one of my pitchers under the bus.
Oh, it's not going to be a good podcast for Yankees fans. It's not.
No, because...
On multiple levels, quite frankly, so...
Really? Okay.
When you lose a pitcher to Tommy John...
There is one other person, you're right.
So, that's all I'm saying, but let's just remember, ladies and gentlemen, pine tar should never be used... by a pitcher. It should never be. I'm being a little facetious with that. We'll debate that at length.
Yes,
we'll also talk about
Pixel Nation. Hopefully, I need to talk to Brian, and of course, Red State Blue State.
All of that at CLW83.com. So be listening, be looking online. By the way, Facebook.com/touch'em all. Check out the Facebook page. I tried to update it a couple of times during the day. So.
And one more thing, I may be doing a WLTI Live Extra this week.
Yes.
With a potential guest having to do with the game show Emmy nominations. That's all I got to say about that. Once it's in the can, I will promote it.
Yes, so. The game show Emmy nominations for the Daytime Emmy Awards
come out, I believe, on May 1st. And I'm going to be interviewing somebody who, let's just say, might be involved with the nominations.
All I'm going to say about this is this, and I'm not saying this as a disrespect to your guest or anything else. If you have a daytime Emmy nomination show, but you don't have a home on TV for the daytime Emmys, how can you have a daytime Emmy nomination?
It's kind of interesting that where it is and where it's going to be, and I believe it's still going to be on HLN. I think
there's nothing. Well, it may end up there inevitably, but nothing's official yet. It has no home at the moment.
Wow, and that's sad.
Well, though not surprising, because daytime television has become a glorified cesspool.
Yeah, for the most part, but there's still stuff up there. But we'll we'll talk about that, all that stuff on this extra stuff. But Jim, take us home.
I have nothing to plug because I am here. Wait, I just plugged a whole crap load of it. Doesn't work for me. My thanks to Nikki for entrusting me with the show. It will probably never happen again after she hears this. Gee, I wonder why. Jason, Shane, Ford, thanks for joining me, and thanks for your insights. As always, greatly appreciated. And, ICU's calling, indeed. My thanks to all of you for listening. On behalf of Jason, on behalf of Shane, on behalf of Ford, on behalf of Nikki, who is still trying to get her larynx back in order after shouting... you know, about Brock and the Taker and so on and so forth. On behalf of all those individuals and the entire Eyewitness News team, thanks for listening to the NAWC. We'll look for you in the neutral corner next week. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.